from tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Saturday morning, February the 18th, 2006. Sharon Mulkey is the speaker of this service.
I'm so used to the wireless mic, Monty knows I go. Don't leave me now. Okay. I know it delights his heart so much, and to be so free, this is not common, people. I don't have to tell you that, but breaking free and just feeling that just letting what's inside out is not what women have been told to do throughout the generations and the years. You know, be prim, be proper, cross your legs. You know, I mean, we've really lived a constrained, restrained life, and God is just taking those caps off us. He's taking those traditions of men and legalism that where you've got to live by the rules. Well, whose rules are they? They're not God's rules, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Amen.
You know, and the next thing is, where there is no ox, the stall is clean. I'll translate that to you in Montana talk. If there's no bull in the pen, there's no crap. That's a nice word, crap. So you know what? This is the best place to try out your gifts. Because we're not going to condemn you. Where else can you feel free? Like, if you feel like you have to prophesy, if you feel like you have the whatever. This is a wonderful group. So I want to encourage you the rest of the meeting, like the one sister that prophesied, right on. Tamara, right on. And it really goes along with what I want to share with you. And I got to thinking, we may have to esteem the Lord's word more than our necessary food at 12 o'clock here, you know. Even though Monty did send the timer with me. But my watch did break, so I took that as a sign. As go on time. Oh, I gotta get my stuff. You guys, I gotta tell you, I'm so different than I was 30 years ago. I mean, if Monty told you what he picked up at my house 36 years ago, you wouldn't recognize it. You know, coming out of the hayfield. Covered in dirt, Levi's boots. I was rough and tough. Nobody's going to get to me those days, you know. I'll tell you why I'm here and why this is the launch of my ministry, in a sense. I've ministered in at home, Seattle, over in South America, Chile, and Germany, and my brother is a deliverance pastor over there. And it's been 30 years I've been in deliverance, and I didn't realize the timing of all of it until I was thinking about Monty's birthday and adding up numbers and stuff. And he's getting old, I'm not, but, you know, that happens. And but anyway, he's not here, so
he felt led to go somewhere else. So
yeah, he's God's done a lot in his life. He's getting better every year. That floor time's wonderful for men. Anyway, you know, I'm going to be real honest with you folks right up front. I have ADD. What were we talking about? And, you know, I had a lot of shame and embarrassment because of that. And God had to do a work for a long time for me to accept that in myself. Because it just can really mess up your life in a lot of ways. I have three kids and a dog, and they're all ADD. Even the dog. My oldest son is 26. Then I have a daughter that's 4 years younger, so I'd be 22. And Shane's 19. So they're all 4 years apart. not by design, just the way it came out. My daughter's going to get married in June. Sinus is 22. One of the blessings that I've had is that they all got saved when they were little. And, you know, when you're in deliverance, the devil really takes your kids for a loop. You know that, right? And but God is watching. And you know what? Our kids are going to grow up knowing religion from Christ. Nobody's going to pull the wool over their eyes. Nobody tells my boys or my daughter, they can just smell it a mile away, religion. And they don't want anything to do with it. But, you know, they talk to all their friends. So it's amazing. But God has given me a promise. He said that all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And so when the devil really starts wrapping me around the pole, and you low-life mother, and just can really ground you down, in my mind he gave me a picture of like three diamonds, but they're all iridescent colors. Kind of like, I think, the dresses we get to wear in heaven. We're not doing just one color up there, ladies. God is too creative, you know. That iridescent, and it's just, you know what? Someday, it's all going to be over, and we're all going to be in heaven. So we hang on to that. What is my place in the body, and what am I to do? I'm a scout, and I go before, and I pick out the best route, and where the wagon train should go, and then I go back and report to the wagon master. And with Monty and I, he's the wagon master. Thank God. Who would want that job? You know, because it's a perfect job for a person with ADD, because they're always going, they're always moving, they're always checking out, and they're going forward. You have a very inquisitive mind, people with ADD a lot of times are able to take this and this and this and this and put it together with this, and it's a brand new solution to an old problem. And a lot of people that have changed history and advanced civilization have had ADD. They just didn't know what to call it. And I really thank God that it's been recognized and that they're developing different medications for it. And I thank God for that. So I just want you to know, if we're talking about John and we end up over in Acts, that's God's, you know, it's all going to fit together somehow. But being a scout, see, I knew I'd get back there. Being the scout goes before, and I'm so excited when I heard the words that you talked about where God is calling you to come. Come to Him. You know, it's time when we don't have to be Marthas anymore. You know, the world and everybody wants us to be Martha. Do, 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 do. And Jesus is saying, come, sit at my feet. I think it was 4 years ago, He spoke to me and He said, come away, my beloved. In fact, there's a book by that title that just ministered to me deeply. And He said, Sharon, I want you to start coming away with me for extended periods of time, a day, 2 days. And so the first step is by faith. But once you're there, you never want to come back. And what God does during those times is different than what He'll do in other times in your life. What I found Him doing is I got to know myself better. You know, it's like He reveals yourself to yourself. And He imparts. See, that's the second half of deliverance that a lot of people don't realize that goes on. God isn't only rooting up and tearing down. Well, He does that, but then there's a time to put in, to plant. And it's layer by layer, line by line, precept by precept. And that's why you get a little deliverance. And then God says, okay, take a little time. I want you to just maybe learn this scripture or just hold. And I found God just imparting things into my life and just speaking things into my life that I would have never known any other way. I know Kathy can testify, Liz can testify. They've taken that leap. And it just gets richer and richer each time. So I really want to encourage you that this is the first step to the next step that God will take you to. If you don't make this step, ladies, how can He take you to the next step? If you don't learn your letters in first grade, you really can't learn to read and read later on. It's that critical. The world will pull at you. Everything inside you will pull at you. I mean, Kathy's testimony, oh, it took an act of God to get her to go the first time. Really? But after that, when you break that barrier, That's where it all begins. And when he's saying, come, arise, those are some of the same exact words that God gave me. And we, none of the speakers had communicated to each other what we were talking about. So the word here at this conference is, come away, my beloved, come unto me. Christ wants to be that husbandman to you. You know, people think, oh, you're married to a pastor, and oh, life must be wonderful. Well, you know, there's a lot of years I lived the life of a single mother, even though I was married. You know, life is not a bowl full of cherries. There's a lot of pits in there. And, but you know, those are the years where you just press in and God becomes all to you. And you learn to become two whole people living together instead of two Klingons. And, so I just really want to encourage you to go to him. Monty had to do some mass deliverance on our group of fears. Fear of just going to God. Well, if I go to God, he's going to tell me something horrible. I'm some rotten stinker. It is amazing what will start rising up in you when you start moving toward God. But remember, when you start moving toward him, he takes two steps toward us, okay? So I just encourage you to go that way. It is the beginning of the next steps. I want to share with you, seems to be in our family line, just the gift of God sharing the future with us. And our family line goes way back into Italy with when the Valdenesses came out from the, they took the scriptures out of the Catholic Church and translated them into the language of the people. And that's where my family line comes from. And I've always wondered why there was such a sincere love of the truth and a guarding of God's real word. Each one of you has something inside of you, too. And God is going to start talking to you about those things as you go away and be with him. Everybody's heard a lot about the baby boomers, right? You want to hear something else about the baby boomers? We were in church during praise and worship, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about the baby boomers. He said, you know, the baby boomers are the generation where a lot of them are able to retire. And if they're not retired, they choose to work. They want to go on. Maybe their children have left home. They have resources. They have skills. They have money more than any other generation in the world. They have money. But the most important thing that they have that nothing, no amount of money can buy is time. Wouldn't you agree that the woman's, we don't have enough time. You know, you got the kids and you got this and you got that. Well, there comes a point when you have time. Well, this generation, one of the largest in history, has a large amount of time. And God has started and is starting, and he shared that he is going to begin to move on the baby boomer generation with the spirit of salvation. And what is real phenomenal about that is statistically by the age of 6 or whatever, if you don't get saved by a certain age when you're young, you don't get saved when you're old. So, you know, just when the devil thinks he's got everything all sewed up, here comes God in the back door. I was wondering, the other thing about the baby boomer generation is they're people like you and me. They have lived life. Saved or not saved, I'm telling you, life teaches you lessons. And you're just not as dumb the second time somebody says, oh, I got a bridge or a lake in Arizona. I can tell you where there's no water. I mean, life teaches you lessons. These people are not going to be easily beguiled and blown about by every wind of doctrine. And they're also not going to want to play church. They do not want to play church. And they can smell religion a mile away. The Lord in his mercy, because sometimes you think, oh, my God, am I going to get stoned next Sunday for being a false prophet? When I was at work on the radio station, they talked about a book called The Left Hand of God. And one political party was saying, we got to take God back from the right-hand conservatives. And so now the left hand is saying, we've got to talk about God like the right hand was talking about God, because all these baby boomers are coming up and going, what's the meaning of life? I have a big bank account. I've got a big house. I have 3 Mercedes in there. Well, what's the meaning and purpose of life? All of a sudden, busyness cannot cloak over the emptiness that is in their hearts. I mean, you come to a day when you stand in the house and it's empty, you and the dog, but me and the dog, and you think, what's life? Well, how would that be if you didn't have anything on the inside of you. This is so exciting. What is going to be happening? And this is where all of you fit in. I want you to see ahead. I want you to see why you come to these conferences, why you are sticking it out, why you are getting deliverance, why you are just hanging in there on those bad days. And God's not letting you off the hook. And He's not letting you get out of here. Because every one of you have a story to tell. Every one of you has had God work in your life in such a way that's miraculous. And you know what? It's real. Nobody can argue. It's real. They can look at you and go, wow, that person's real. And it lasts. You don't get delivered from a spirit one day, and all of a sudden you're down and you're totally manifested the other day. I mean, yes, there's spirits that take time, like rejection. That can take a lot. I'm not saying that we pray once and it's done. But it's real and it lasts. Nothing the world has lasts. Why do you think there is all of these self-help books out there? Well, you can only help yourself for so long, and you get tired and weary because you're beating your head against the wall, and it doesn't work. Or it works for a short time, and pretty soon the flesh gets tired and goes, I can't do this anymore. Or you got 500 little balls, and you're trying to push all these balls down, and they just pop up over here, pop up over there. But see, that's what deliverance is doing in our life, is it's getting rid of all the little balls. You have a story to tell. You have a testimony. I want to show you. I think the church has kind of got a little bit misguided. But this is, it says, it is our task to live as a radical alternative to the culture in a way that persuades individuals in the watching culture to choose allegiance to the Christ whom we serve. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, explained, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. You know, when people say you might be the only Bible somebody reads, yeah, you may be the first Bible somebody reads. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And that's what God's wanting to do with us. Come to me. Let me show you I am a good God. I'm not a judgmental God. I am not a critical God. Women have such a cowering type thing that we've always, through history, carried. And God wants us to lift our heads and look in His eyes and see His acceptance of us. Christians have not always agreed about the best way to undertake this task. Some have thought, okay, well, I will compromise with the essentials of the faith. And in bending over to speak to the world, they fell in. To use an image from Havers and Wilm, many Christians think that the distressing powerlessness of the church in the present thoroughly secular culture reflects, at least in part, a misguided effort by the church to fit into the culture rather than to live as a radical alternative within that culture. As a result, it is now commonplace to speak of North America as a mission field. You don't have to go to Africa. Wherever that came from, I don't know. We just kind of tease about it back at home. But the danger of fitting into the culture aside, this option ultimately fails, no matter how well-intentioned it may be, because it is a substitute for our biblical mandate, which is, we are not called to reform the culture as such. That sounds a little new to you? We are not called to reform the culture as such. We are called, rather, to transform the world by living out a radical alternative that the world cannot know apart from the lives of God's people. We are God's transformed and being transformed people. For God's people, influence on the culture is a byproduct of their transformed lives. Those early Christians made disciples, and as a result, the world around them was turned upside down. One of the things that the devil has gotten us doing is being busy on everything but our own deliverance. Oh, I got to do this for the kids. I got to do this for the church. I got to do this and this. You know, it's wood, hay, and stubble. God is asking each of us to start working on ourselves because we are a living testimony. And what does it say? That, and they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It sounds too simple to be effective, doesn't it? And that is really the call of the day, people, is to first come away from Him and let Him start transforming you, and then you will transform the world. But you go into the world untransformed, and we're going to have what we already have. Divorce rate, that's the same. Incest in the church, that's the same. And you know, the world's problems are compounding and getting worse and worse. Just by the law of physics, things are falling apart. There are problems out there that just reading your Bible and just praying are not going to deal with. Christ said, I go and I preach. What did He tell us to do? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Four things. And we're doing 100 other things, but those four things that He wants to start with us. I'm a nurse, and I work in a place, and I see, and my heart is breaking when I realize, yes, maybe we're living in the fattest nation of the world, but we have more kids starving to death than any other nation, too, with anorexia and bulimia. It is tearing families apart, financially, mentally, emotionally, and these people don't have anywhere or any resources to go to. My heart breaks because I have been there. You have been in places like that. You know the agony of a mother that their child cannot eat. Anything that mother does to feed that child, it won't eat. Is that hell on earth? Just about. And there's multiple other things that I'm going to start addressing back at our home church. And we are going to come against it with the tools that Jesus Christ has given us to come against it. Don't be intimidated when people say, well, all you do is deliverance. You say, darn right. And if more people were doing it, we wouldn't have to do so much of it. So don't be intimidated by that. And you know what? Sunday we're going to talk about what lurks. 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 Yeah, that's a cool word, isn't it? Lurks behind the door of opportunity. Because here God gets us all buffed up and shined up, and not that we're ever going to be perfect, because we couldn't stand each other if we were. And then you step through that door of opportunity, or your friends help you push yourself through the door of opportunity, and then all of a sudden, you're not expecting a fight. You think you've made it. But God is good. And then one of the places that I have in the body that I didn't get to have personally was because when Virginia were my pastor, Virginia... we all started out together. I mean, we were all in the same sinking ship at times. There wasn't someone to say, this is the way, walking in it. Watch out, there's a pothole hole over there. You know what? Go this way instead of that way. It'll be easier for you. The women that have gone before in deliverance are now turning around and reaching back and saying, I'll help you. I don't know all the answers, but I'm telling you, I don't want you falling in the holes that I fell in. When you read the tape list, that's an autobiography of my life. I don't preach a message I haven't lived. I can't. I can't preach theory. I don't know how to do that. All I can share with you is what God has done in my life. And what He's done in my life through deliverance, nothing else could do. It is so essential. And we've got to dig deep in those wells. I think one of the things that's deceiving... okay, hang on. I'm going to step into the phone booth here. Yeah, Mission Impossible. We are incredible. But, you know, one of the things that struck me is I was just walking out to the car on a regular average day, and God goes, because you see yourself as ordinary, you don't think anything of yourself. I thought, well, yeah, and I'm used to the, Monty tapes it on my ear now, so I go wherever I go, but we look at ourselves, I mean, look at yourself, just ordinary people, aren't we? But God says, we really aren't, we really are incredible, and that's what Junior was trying to get through to us. Is seeing ourselves through Christ's eyes. He sees us as incredible. You know, covered with the blood of Jesus. That's kind of handy. You know? And, no, I'm not going to fly around the room. My God. Now, when you get these pictures, I want you to look at the characters, and I want to tell you why this is so important to see yourself as God sees you. In the show The Incredibles, they were out saving the day, and they were going to deliverance meetings, and people were getting set free, and everybody was going, yes, that's my purpose in life, that's what God's called me to do, is to help set the captives free. Well, then a new wave came in. Oh, let's just praise them out. Let's just sing them out. What happened? The real Incredibles were out of a job. And in the movie, what happened with the real Incredibles is what's happening to us. Okay, the mother, this is very good. She was stretch mother, stretched too thin all the time. Right? All the time, stretched too thin. Right? The kids were being little brats at the table, you know, because they weren't being able to do what they were called to do either. In a sense, you're denying yourself who you really are, and the world's trying to tell you who you should be, right? And it doesn't feel right on the inside. So everybody tries to play these roles in these games. Well, then we have Mr. Incredible. You gotta see Nani in this t-shirt. He looks pretty good. He did. Yeah, see, it's incredible. It's got a little eye there. I wish they would have had the one for women, but anyway. But Mr. Incredible, and this talks about our men. You see how buff he is on this thing here? He's out to conquer the world, right? Well, in the movie, what happened when there was no need for him? Sat around the house, let the woman do everything, abdicated all his authority, got fat and lazy. He and the wife started fighting, marital discord, and then, because the devil also knew what his gifts and talents were, goes, come work for me. And because he reached such a point of desperation and the devil pushed on him and pushed on him and pushed on him to get to a point of desperation, he goes, right, I'm going to go work for the devil. That's not what he said, but in essence, he went to work for the bad guys, right? Well, what did he do? As soon as he knew he was going to be allowed to do what was inside of him, immediately life springs forth. Strength returns. Worked out at the gym, you know? That's the coolest part where he tries to pull on his shorts. Reminds me of me and my girdle day sometimes. But I think we can edit these off the tape, right? But what happened is he became his old self again, right? But he's on the wrong team. And he and his wife were not together. I'm going to do it myself, honey. Another big spirit that the men have really started coming against, and it is changing them more than any other thing I have seen, is the independent spirit. I can do it myself. Now, they won't say that with your words. And I'm just going to use my and I's life as an example. I mean, we've always been together in the ministry. But up until recently, I always had this like invisible force shield I felt was around him, like, just stay right there. Just stay right there. Now, he himself couldn't even say that that's how he was feeling. He went, well, no, honey, you've always been a part of things. It's like, no. And this is why there's no intimacy in a lot of marriages. That's one reason. Because this independent spirit says, I'm going to do it my way. And you know what? America loves that independent spirit. America was built on that independent spirit. That self-made man. And that spirit also is the one that can't praise anybody else for anything they do. They can't encourage anybody else for what they do because I pulled myself up by the bootstraps. Why can't you, young man? It's a very hard spirit. And now, because women are getting sick and tired of it, and they thought, all right, fine. You be independent. I'm going to be independent, too. I'm just going to go and do my thing. So now we got two big problems, right? But Moni has taught on the independent spirit, and we're going to be doing teachings on the independent spirit and how it is. You just never get close in a marriage. And the saddest thing was, and Monty just wept. He goes, you know, I've always desired with all my heart to be a good husband and a good father. And he says, and to think that cruel spirit was in there when all of his desires were right. Your desires can be right, but the demons can block and put up whatever they do and all their stuff, and it doesn't get through. So I just want to encourage you with that is going to be a major breakthrough. And the unity that Monty and I have felt is much closer. because the force field is down. The second thing that we're going to talk about in a little bit is another reason why men and women are still like this. Now, where were we? Back to the super guy. Okay, they were apart, and he didn't mind it being apart. So what happens? The woman is always running after the man. Honey, honey, wait for me, wait for me. I want to be apart, I want to be apart. How many of you have been that way? We all have. For generations, we're running behind, trying to be a part of something that they don't want us to be a part of, and they don't even know what it is. This is a lot of hope for marriages. And I think a lot of marriages have been destroyed by this cruel spirit. And there's days I wouldn't sell money, I would have gave them away. You know? That's real. I mean, let's get real. You know, fantasy and denial over the church is just pathetic. You know what? Let's get real. Because God has real problems. We don't have to fantasize. We don't have to deny problems because God has an answer now. And a lot of times that answer is go get deliverance. But I can't have a demon. Fine. You know what? Don't argue with them. Because until God opens their eyes, I don't need to wear these gloves, but until God opens their eyes, they're not going to see it. So you just let them go. Say, Lord, in your time. Anyway, everything gets turned around in the show. He quits working for the bad guys and comes back. And even the baby finds his mission in life. But the family's restored. The family's restored. There's no squabbling, no more fighting. You know why? Because they are all living for something much bigger than they are. Every marriage has to live for something much bigger than it is. Two live for something up there. Two come together because Christ said, you two can do more for me married than you can singly. Until he says that, single people, girls, don't get married. It's hell on earth. It really is. And the devil will make sure, and it's getting to be more hell on earth. That's why, you know, God wants to do things that only he can do in your life. Give him a chance by just going to him. He challenged me at the beginning of the year to spend 20 minutes without talking and just listen to him. So you get out the duct tape, put it across the mouth, you know. But the things that are just coming into me, because God is God. We have made God itty-bitty, but God is still God. He made the universe. I want to tell you something so interesting. You know how you go to the sun and Venus and Mars and you think, oh my heavens, it's so far out there, and it is light years. But did you know that the smaller the particles in your body are, you get down to your protons, your neutrons, and your atoms, if you use the same measuring scale, the distance is farther from the nucleus and a neutron than it is from like here to Pluto. So when people say, how can you have so many demons? Well, that's easy. But anyway. But isn't that fascinating? And there's so many things like that. God has gotten so little in people's eyes. God wants to show himself big to us because there's a whole world out there, people. They're hurting like we're hurting. Don't they have a right to receive the help we've received? Don't they have the right for someone to say to them, come out, rejection, in Jesus' name? The grief and the pain and the terror and the horror that they've lived, don't they have a right to have what we've had? Right. That's what compels me. They have a right to have what I've been so freely given. Freely I've received, freely give. And that's what God is calling on all of us to do. And you all have something to give. Junie was right when she said that the love of many has grown cold. A couple of years ago, God just really put that on my spirit. It scared the hell out of me. But not all of it. But I mean, when God speaks something to you that is so critical, I'm telling you, without God's love in us manifesting itself, we are not going to stand in the times ahead, people. People are going to trash us. People are not going to be nice to us. We've already seen it. Look what they're doing to James Dobson for just standing for the truth. They are maligning him, calling him a virus, and those are all New Age terms. Watch it, people. You're a virus. We need to kill you. You're a bug, a bad strain. They talk about Christians like they talk about viruses and bacteria that they don't want around. But this is one of the things also that the Lord will just start imparting into you. He knows how to get around our rocks. He knows how to get around our closed soul. That is that is one of the most wonderful deliverances I got on the closed soul 1 and 2. They were praying for me. John was. Closed soul, come out. Closed soul, come out. On and on and on. Well, poor John, who is a fabulous deliverance prayer. I mean, this guy knows how to pray. Thought he was a total failure. And, oh, my gosh, I prayed for Sharon and nothing happened. You know, but you know what? That spirit manifested perfectly. Hatches down, button closed, closed soul. You just close up. Really? And every one of us have done it. Because we're sensitive creatures. God made us with sensitivity. And it doesn't take a lot to be poked. And what is the natural reaction in nature when something is poked? You go like that. And the harder the poke, the abuse, the incest, the molestation, the more we curl up inside to protect ourselves. And that is a hard journey to come back. But that's where God just gets those little crowbars in there and he starts doing deliverance on all of that. I only mention this because to encourage you. The more you learn about demons, how they operate, what they look like, the more effective you will be in praying for others and for yourself. Okay, that's why people write books. That's why people have tapes. Like I tell Monty, I'm independently wealthy. No. I am blessed in a position where I don't have to work full-time anymore. I have been released to write what God has taken me through the last 30 years. And I want to, because I want you to be free. I want everyone to be and have what I have and more. We are going to have this love, or we're not going to stand. You know, we're not, there's a time to stand, but there's also a time not to deck your neighbor because he's just hawked you off for the last time. You know, and the love of Christ has got to come at a supernatural level because things are going to get darker. And what does love do? It casts out fear. We are living in an age of anxiety and fear and tension, and it's only going to get worse. Everything they tell you operates on fear. The bird flu. I'm telling you, there's so much hype about that stupid bird flu. Forget it, ladies. Just don't worry about it. Everything is with fear, so you buy the product. Your bones are going to break if you don't buy this osteoporosis calcium pill. Your teeth are going to fall out if you don't have all this vitamin C. It's all based on fear. The whole world runs on fear. Why? Because the devil is here. All he knows is how to operate by fear, okay? So when you're making decisions, go, who's making this decision? Am I doing this because I'm afraid? Or is God telling me to do it? Or is it just plain common sense to do it? Like drink 8 glasses of water a day. That's common sense. It's deliverance that is going to really dig out and uncover those burning coals of love that God has. He has shed that love abroad in our heart. But let me tell you, it's not coming out of me like it needs to be. And I am hanging on to his coattail till liquid love flows through my body. I'm telling you, I am telling God I'm knocking on your door because I need it. What I have to say can be sobering, and it is sobering, and it is solemn to some. But to others, it's also going to be very exciting and adventurous. It's going to be full of perils and fraught with danger. For there be dragons out there in them their uncharted waters. We are a generation of women that is going where no women have gone before. Amen. Right? And God is separating darkness from light through deliverance. Because we don't know darkness from light. A sick mind cannot heal a sick mind. You get deliverance and you go, wow, I never knew that, right? Right? I never knew I could feel this way or that way. Only deliverance can do that. We're living in that generation, ladies, where it's uncharted waters. And when they did the maps in the old time, when they didn't know what was out there, they would say, there be dragons that be out there. So, but that's where we're going. We don't have all the answers. That's why some of you are still struggling. Where's my place? What I'm to do? Because we are just in the beginning of what God is starting to do with the women in the United States and the world. The women in Germany want this as much as we do, in South America, even in Seattle. I have a dear friend in Seattle, that's why I say that. We are on the precipice of the most exciting time really, to be living as Christian women. God is coming to free us from such chains and shackles that we don't even know we've been living under. You know, isn't it so easy? We look at those poor women in Saudi Arabia and stuff, and they're all covered up in the black, and we go, oh, those poor women. They are. But what are the shrouds we're wearing that we can't see that God wants to show us? And you know what? A skunk never smells himself. This is a... That's why Kathy and Liz come over and go, Sharon, you're stinking. because they love me. That's why we need women to get together in conference groups as much as we can. We can't always, but take the opportunity when it does come. Fight hell and high water and ice and sleet and whatever. Because as we pray one for another, somebody, God will just start giving them discernment, and you'll just be so surprised. And you'll start hacking and coughing and spitting in the bucket, and you'll think, man, I never knew I had that. Well, you probably didn't do all those things, but who knows what your granddaddy did or your grandmother. Right? And I mean, this stuff travels down the generations for a long time. Not just 10 generations, people. Because the devil always finds a way to reactivate the curse before it should come off. I mean, he's not dumb. He's been in this game a long time. We're the ones having to catch up, okay? But that's why when we pray one for another, pray for different people at different times. You know what? It doesn't matter who prays for you because it's God, Jesus Christ, that is the deliverer. Right? Okay? Whether they're little kids, we have little kids, pray for big people. It doesn't matter. It's the Spirit of God that is the deliverer, right? I gotta quit. I'm trying to quit this verbal garbage. Right? Right? Okay. Anyway. Right. I just baptized myself up here. The devil thinks, and he is working overtime to make us believe that he has everything all sewed up, that it's all over, that the battle for the redemption and restoration of mankind's soul is a futile, hopeless effort. Quit struggling. Quit hanging on. You know, all your efforts are just vanity. He snarls and he's, just quit. Haven't you had enough yet? All of us hear it all the time. He is chewing your butts all the time, ladies. Because he hates you, because he knows by hurting you, he is hurting our Father. You pick on a person's kids, it hurts the parents' hearts, right? So he's out there circling you, telling you, just quit, just give up. You didn't get any deliverance. You're not changed. And it's very hard when you are out in the country and you're the only one there and you don't have someone, not even a husband or anybody, that says, no, honey, you've really changed in the last year. And that's why at this meeting, Father, in Jesus' name, I loose godly soul ties between all of us. Amen. Godly soul ties that will go and strengthen each and every person here and that hears this by tape and that is committed to spreading the true gospel and deliverance. These people, we loose these godly soul ties so that when you are out on Timbuktu, out on a ranch, 100 miles from nowhere, and you're crying out to God, help me, godly soul ties will start kicking in. We have to feed and nourish each other. And because there are so few of us, God has already figured it out. We have godly soul ties. Get rid of the bad ones, the new ones. So, Father, I thank you. And we secure them with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your hearts are only the first of many that God has touched and is sending forth to reclaim and restore his people through deliverance. And he's doing this so that they once again are not only willing, but able. Remember how we talked about the difference with the independent spirit? You may have all the right desires. You may want to do the right thing with all your heart, but you're not able to because the devil has handcuffed you in some way. And this, God wants to enable us to believe in, to trust in, to hope in, and to love with all our souls in, and consent to the real, genuine, authentic, eternal truths about God. Through deliverance, truth is going to be revealed to us. The whole world lies in the wicked one. We have been swallowing the devil's lies from Adam and Eve. We don't even know how much truth and untruth and falsehood is in us. We just don't know. And it's not any condemnation. It's just we don't know. And we're the generation that has been chosen. What an honor for God to start separating light from darkness. And let me tell you, people, only God can take light and darkness and pull out the light and get rid of the darkness. And the more deliverance you get, the more, and it builds upon each other, and it builds upon each other. God has promised that he's going to lead us into all truth and the real truth. And the real truth is what makes us free. And when we know the real truth, that is when our lives start changing, because he has promised when you know the truth will set you free. Okay, how come there is so little freedom in the churches? The spirit of truth isn't there, and the love of the truth isn't there. They don't want to hear the truth. You guys all know people who, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear Christians can have demons. But yet they'll whine and moan and gripe about all their problems. But when you say, you know what, Jesus Christ died for you to have peace in that area, they don't want to hear it. Our land is not only full of worldly, but even much more insidious and deadly is the religious deceit and deception, the lies, the errors, and the falsehoods. And they have become the refuge of God's people and not God alone. And only deliverance can tell you what is a religious spirit and what is a spirit of truth. Because we have been so hornswoggled, people, we don't know. And you know what? We can admit we don't know. Say, Lord, I am willing to lay down anything you tell me is not of you. Our minds are consumed with the spirit of darkness and mind blindness. And Satan, you know, reminds us all the time. And I want to share something with you. Back in the back, I did a mass deliverance on the holy war, taking off the devil's armor. These are demons that he has planted in all of us specifically to guard against the day when he knew you were going to get saved. He was working before the day of your salvation to build up walls of unbelief and doubt and wait till your ship comes in and filth and lasciviousness. I really encourage you to get that tape and just play it for the mass deliverance, people. It is, you know, it's not only we have God's armor on, but if it's over the devil's stinky armor, it's not protecting us. You know what? You've got to fight from the inside out. It isn't from the outside in. You start on the inside and you go the inside out. And the devil talks just like God. John Bunyan wrote in his books in the Holy War, when you read it, the devil talks just like God, and that's why we swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Isn't that just the cruelest joke, the cruelest thing? And the devil reminds us, you people, you know, like in that movie, you people, you have forsaken God and the fountains of living water, and you have hewed out your own cisterns, and behold, you live and worship the own work of your hands, your own ideas and your own programs. And because you believed in God, you believed him. You brought all this calamity on yourself. See, it says right there in verse 17, Jeremiah 2. For believing in God and not doing what he said, you have brought all this calamity and destruction on yourself. All by yourself. Verse 35. God knows you're not innocent. He's angry at you. God must live by his word, and you know it. When you do wrong things, God's going to punish you severely. And he's going to leave you out to dry, all alone, abandoned, helpless, afraid, with nobody wanting to help you. The devil has said that to each and every one of us here. He has tried to make us feel so ashamed and so unworthy that we don't think that God's blood can cover it. The spirit of shame is very, very heavy and crippling in women. The devil says, you should have never trusted that wily character God in the first place. See how he's treating you? All those bad things that are happening to you, they all started because you got deliverance. Your life is just fine before you got deliverance. Everybody's heard that one. And just because God doesn't think that you have a brain in your head to figure out the way that you should go by yourself, doesn't he know that you're the Lord also? That you're independent? You're a self-thinker. You know the way to walk. Who needs God to tell you anything? He doesn't understand our modern language in our modern times anyway. He's an old fuddy-duddy. You guys have heard that a lot. He's old and ancient. He doesn't know how to have fun. He sits high on his throne in the heavens. He doesn't give two hoots about you. And he doesn't have your best interest at heart at all. He just wants to be a little warmonger or be praised and worshipped all the time. But he doesn't really care about you. And you won't have any fun at all. And you know what? He thinks it's evil to do what's right in your own eyes, to be a law unto yourself. And it is utterly hopeless to ask for his mercy and grace now. That is one of the biggest things that the Satan comes to the believer with, or even right before it's salvation. It's a miracle anybody gets saved, you know that. But it's like, God can't forgive you for that. We've all heard that in our mouth and in other people's mouths. And believe me, when God starts pressing on you to get these things up for you to get delivered, you're going to be surprised what comes out of your mouth. So I'm just sharing. You're not alone. They're coming out of everybody else's mouth too. But at least you know, and you won't go in shame. You'll go, oh yeah, Sharon told me this was going to happen. Okay. I know who you are talking to me. Okay. God's only going to make you feel ashamed of what you have already enjoyed doing at my house. I heard he's run out of blood. Satan is trying to overwhelm us with the thoughts and feelings that there is just too much evil in the world to do anything about it. It's hopeless. Those teenagers are hopeless. Listening to that rap music, I mean, they'll just never get it right. I mean, the devil is always pounding on you to give up. Live your own little world. Well, you know, I am only one person. And what difference can I make? I'm just one person. And on top of that, I'm a woman. And what can a woman do? Well, I'm just going to wait for the rapture. Let's see. And I have that book, and it tells me how to cope with my problems. I'm sure the rapture can't be far away now. Where was that hill everybody was going to anyway? Boy, let's see. Is there anything I can do? If I get busy, I won't feel all this anxiety and fear and dread and worry and helplessness and powerlessness and frustration. And so through the ages, the epitome of cunning and craftiness, deceit, deception, lying, stealing, killing, and destroying has endeavored to get back at God by capturing God's chosen people with vain deceit, witchcraft controls, and doctrines of men and demons, traditions of men, and implanted in their minds by Satan himself. But God. Paul Harvey would say the rest of the story. There's God who brought forth Seth after Cain and Abel were out of the picture. Then there's Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. The nerve of that man. He was supposed to be dead. We killed him. The show Narnia did a wonderful scene on that. The devil had no idea that Jesus Christ was going to raise from the dead. The devil had no idea that they were going to have Seth. All through history, God's had another idea. God's had another plan. We do not have to fear. What we need to do is draw close to God and figure out, have him tell us his plan. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. And in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And for God sent not his only son into the world. He didn't send him in to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, healed, and delivered. God is full of mercy, grace, and forgiveness, kindness, patience, and gentleness. In sending Jesus Christ, God did not use human pre-approved plans and methods. He didn't get permission from the world to do what he wanted to do, what he needed to do. Like in Matthew 1:18, God's plan was definitely backwards to the ways of man. Mary wasn't married. Oh, the talk of now, that would go around. Well, people say, it's not right. We don't do things like that here. But just as Abraham obeyed God as he took Isaac to be sacrificed, a totally pagan practice in that day, and Mary, who had no sex before marriage and carried the Christ child, the love, reverence, respect, and esteem that they had in their hearts for the God of the universe compelled them to obey and go and be who they were supposed to be. That's why we need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, so that it compels us against all worldly opposition, against all demonic opposition, to obey and go and be who Christ has made us to be. That's incredible. Think about it. One man, one woman, one child. Three people, and the world's changed. One person does make a difference. And God has brought you to this workshop to be reminded of the great calling He has put in your life before the foundations of the world were laid. You're not here by accident. And this is a very solemn warning. The gifts and calling of God, which are two separate entities, are without repentance. They are yours alone. You can't give them to someone else to use. You and I alone are going to stand on Judgment Day and be asked to give an account on how we used our gifts and calling to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to this world in some form. And 99.9 times out of 10, it's going to be outside the church, because that's where the hurting world is, too. And just as Jesus Christ fulfilled His calling and His purpose, we are no less commanded to fill our calling, our purpose, and for being in this world. That's the reason you were created and born. God has a plan for your life. Are we living it? No one else was created to do exactly what God created us to do. Just like snowflakes, no two are alike. God has a plan for our life. You were born for a reason. You do have a purpose to live. It is now the time to seriously consider, am I living man-made doctrines plans for my life? Am I living religion's plan for my life? Am I living my independent plan for my life? I'm going to do it my way. Oh, man, but what does it matter? Anyway, I am tired and I am worn out. And look at me, stuck at home with three kids, dirty diapers, and dishes in the sink, and a husband who's home but not really home. And now they tell me I have to homeschool, even though I can't read a word. They tell me I have to feed the children of the world. They tell me I have to fight for world peace. They tell me I have to be this fascinating wife and lover. And they tell me I have to sing in the choir at church, even though I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Just don't tell me about God's wonderful plan for my life. Well, I'm not. Nevertheless, God does. What if Jesus Christ had been too busy to come to earth, to be born as a babe? Can you just hear it in heaven now? Oh, Dad, man, I have the universe to run. I have to hold everything together. And you're telling me that your plan is for me to go and save the world too? There would be no salvation by grace alone for any of us. We would all be going to hell after being eaten alive by the devil while we were alive on earth. The spirit of I don't want to and don't tell me what to do is a strong spirit. And you know what? That's the reason there is still so much hell on earth today. Church, we are going to be accountable. And Christ is giving us a chance to get our lives cleaned up, to go out and be salt and light to the world. The devil has made us sugar. Be sweet. Be nice. Right? You think about that. What if Jesus had just been too busy to come down to earth? We would be in hell. And we're going to be held just as accountable. The scriptures are here. We will stand alone before God on Judgment Day, and He's going to get out the book and say, okay, Sharon, I created you to inspire, encourage, and guide, and tell the people what I've done in your life to encourage them to go forward and never give up. All right, let's see what Sharon did. Wow, you really developed a good game of golf there. Mm-hmm. You had three kids, president of the PTA, had Bible study every Wednesday. How does God's list match up with the list you're now doing? And only by going to God are you going to be able to get His real plan for your life. You're not going to get it in the busyness of the world, because the busyness of the world has been designed to distract you, to keep you going around on a merry-go-round. And I have found, and God has challenged me and others, the more time that I will spend with Him, the more my life just falls into line. The more my life lines up with what He has called me to do, things just fall into line. I don't have the problems that I used to have. You know, the specific, well, you know what? Work goes much easier. The doctors call me back for one. You know, patients' families are nicer. God just makes my life much smoother when I'm doing what He's called me to do. And it's bringing me life. I am not being exhausted. And only when you do what God has really created you to do will you find life. Women are fat, angry, overweight, depressed, spending lots of money on credit cards and doing things because you know why? We're bored to death. We haven't been able to do what we've been called to do. But you know what? There is no more excuses, ladies. God is taking the shackles off of us. He is putting us in churches like here at Lake Hamilton and with Monty and other churches where the women are being loose and free to do what God has called them to do. The men are freeing us to go and do what God's called us to do. God has moved on their hearts because women, I'm telling you, we only have a place that men give us. The devil has designed this from a long time ago. It's nothing to do with men. It's all to do with the devil and how he has just come to twist everything up. This is very serious. It's very serious. But it is the only path to life and health. You will have your health come back to you. Oh, man, I got so many messages I want to just share on the immune system. Our bodies, everything's falling apart because we're doing what everybody else wants us to do except what God wants us to do. And we've got to have backbone and courage and guts to say no. And deliverance will help you to have that. It will put backbone in you. You won't react to all of those little senders anymore. You've got to get the demons out. The wounds healed. And God is waiting to do that for you. There are so many resources now available for you folks that people that have gone before didn't have. That is wonderful. And I'm excited that we can offer that to you because we want you to go faster. You don't have to live falling into every pit in the road. You can go, oh, yeah, I read where Sharon fell in this pit, and oh, okay, well, I think I'll, she said to do this instead of fall in the pit. I think I might try that. Okay? And every one of you have a testimony and a story just like that. Don't you care that people are hurting? I mean, don't you really care? I mean, Christ, that's the only thing on His agenda. Is to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, the bruised, the battered, the worn out. God isn't in anything else. His mission statement, His purpose for coming to earth hasn't changed. And we are to go and do likewise. And He is so wonderful that when we start doing what He wants us to do, the desires of our hearts just start dumping on us. You want the heart of your husband softened? Start doing what God wants you to do. You want your rebellious teenagers to turn around. Start doing what God wants you to do. And see what God will do for you. And not because He has to, but just because He loves you. And He's encouraging us. The whole world is waiting. Did you know that this baby boomer generation, we have to reach back to a generation that hasn't been taught how to cook, hasn't been taught how to take care of a baby, hasn't been taught how to budget? Because the schools ain't teaching them those practical things of life. They're not teaching them how to keep a marriage together. But we can do that. Whether it's one-on-one, one at a time. Every one of you have a part to play. It doesn't matter. The size is irrelevant. If I can just leave a burning memory in your mind that one day God's going to pick up His book and your plan and compare it with what you're doing now. God, I just ask that you put that in people's spirits so that they realize the seriousness. I don't want you to lose one reward that God has for you. Not one. I want you to have everything God wants for you here and up there too. And you're not going to get it up there if you're not doing what God's called you to do down here. Quit deceiving ourselves. We just think we're going to have pie in the sky when we haven't done a lick of what He's wanted us to down here. That is self-deception, ladies, and that is what people have trained us to do and to think, because they want us taking care of them. The church has been doing about every plan but God's plan. The church, we have walked in the counsel of our own darkened mind. We have not really believed God's ways are not our ways. Because if we did, we'd be doing things God's way. And so, Father, now, in Jesus' name, I just loose the warrior angels to go and start pulling these things off of people's minds. These spirits of darkness and the caps and the chains and the fetters on their minds and their hearts and every parts of them that are rebelling against God's plan for their life, that are darkening them to the ways of God. I loose that spirit and the angels to go forth now and to continue to set the people free like you have already started. We just loose them now to go. I loose the spirit of belief against doubt and unbelief. If we really believe that God's ways weren't our ways, God's plan in each of us would be fulfilled. And there would be much more salvation, healing, deliverance, peace, and less misery, heartache, and woe. We would be the true light and true salt of the earth. God is calling forth women with courage, resolve, and boldness, and real faith to trust Him alone. As He brings His women back to the plans and paths He has predestined us to walk in before the foundations of the world. I mean, God knew what this generation was going to be before we were born. So He's up there creating you. Oh, here's Sharon, Kathy, Liz, Joni, Karina, all these things. He goes, because I'm going to need these people in this generation to do this. And because so many people have not done what God's called them to do, there's a lot more work for us to do. And who will enable us to do that? Jesus Christ. Because He came. Because He loved the world. He gave His only Son for this world. He's not going to turn it over to the devil. The devil just thinks he's running things. God is beginning a work of reconciliation in the church. Man to woman, woman to woman, and men and women to children. The last verse in the Old Testament, and He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. This generation, our father and mother heart is going to be turned to the generation that's after us to say, come, this is the way, walk in it. Not only in church, but in every practical life area. Maybe you can teach someone to sew. Maybe you can teach someone to bake. Maybe you can just teach somebody how to take care of a baby and how to budget their time. So many women have to work now. You can help them. The potential, it's limitless. Total job security. The spirit of truth and reconciliation is being loosed now, and it is searching out the hearts of men, women, and children who will surrender their lives to the life they were created to live. It is the fullness of God's time, and God has heard the cries of His people, all His people, and He has seen Satan smirk in his blinded conceit. The choice is ours. The woman's movement had nothing to do with power and control and wanting to be boss men around. The woman's movement had everything to do with, I want a choice. I want to choose if I want to be a doctor or a mother or a dog catcher. And I want to be paid the same as any other person in that job. The devil got a hold of the woman's movement and spun it out of control. And you know what, ladies? We can do the women's movement right. Women needed to be free. Women needed to have their shackles broken off of them. All through history, somebody's paid the price to have the freedoms that we've had. And we're going to pay the price for the people coming after us to have the freedom to fulfill God's call in their life. We are playing for eternity. The stakes are eternal, ladies. We're going to do the women's movement right. And who knows what that is? Because it's never been before. And it's always evolving. We're assuming too much. And I hate to say it, but you know what assuming does. Just break down the word. You've all heard it. Makes it after you and me. We are presumptuous. And God said, I warned us against about the sin of presumption and thinking we know it all. A sick mind cannot heal a sick mind. We have got to trust God when He says, go through this door, then go through the next door. And that's why God has raised up people to encourage you. Yes, this is the way. Walk in it. We will be there for you. We will believe in you. A lot of women have nobody to believe in them. Well, I believe in each and every one of you. You wouldn't be here if you weren't part of the group that God is touching. And I'm doing everything. I am pouring out my life with joy to try to make the way easier for you, just like you're going to pour out your life to make the way easier for someone that follows you. We are free today to make our choice concerning God's plan for our life. And you know what? He is really calling us. He moved on us in a mighty way, starting from last night, telling us He loves us more than we can ever comprehend. He started taking the shackles off us this morning in the praise and the worship so that you could make the choice that's best for your life. God wants the very best for you. He is for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm telling you, ladies, there is power in a group. And we're a group. We may be spread all over the country, but what do we have? Godly soul ties. The devil has his network. God has his. And remember, the devil can't create anything. He's always just counterfeited. He's like the countries that they can't invent anything, but they can take and copy it to the T. That's what the devil does. I have to tell you that no excuse is going to stand on the day of judgment. When you stand before God, nothing you say is going to get you off the hook. My husband wouldn't let me. Oh, boy, is that lame. But use it all the time when we want to. You know what? We've got to overcome fear. God is going to do things in our families. He is going to make the crooked places straight if we will just trust Him one step, one day at a time. I just lose hope. I lose encouragement. I lose vision into the people, Father, in Jesus' name, to see beyond today, to see where God wants to take this group of women. I lose that on the people now in Jesus' name. How about the excuse, I didn't know my plan? God holds us responsible for what is written in the book. If we don't read it, that's our problem. It's just like our country. You can get pulled over on the side of the road and you go, officer, I didn't know that was a law. Well, too bad. You get a ticket anyway. I'm telling you, God's word is the same way. And I mean, He doesn't expect us to know every single word, but He expects us to be diligent to know what we can know. Okay, we're held accountable. Well, all the books I read said. Can't you just see God's foot tapping? When is this kid ever going to get through? Well, no one else is doing it. And that is just not our church's doctrine, God. Our church didn't believe that. You can't speak in tongues. And don't you know that the healing went out with the apostles and the gifts? I mean, that sounds really silly to us who have come into that. But what are we not coming into that God wants to reveal to us? It's no different than your kids. I didn't take out the garbage. Why didn't you take out the garbage? Okay, are you going to accept any excuse? When you know your kid is 14 years old and he knows to take out the garbage every Wednesday because the trash comes on Thursday. Okay, that is how lame it's going to sound to God when we stand before Him with our excuses. There will be no excuses, people. I'm telling you, I am trying to save you a bucket of tears up there. Our choice to submit our lives to the plan and purpose for which God created us. Romans 12:1, submit yourself a living sacrifice every day and be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the tools of transformation is to get deliverance. You all read your Bible, you all pray, you all fast, you all do those other works. A lot of times it just boils down to works. And God says, don't forget to get deliverance. Let me do something for you. It's just so simple, it's hard sometimes. Like one time I went up and I thought, okay, I'm just anxiety. And that's a part of ADD. I thought, okay, I'm just going to get prayer. We'll see what happens. Well, they prayed for me. I'm telling you, I was different. I didn't have to work at not being anxious. I didn't have to work at not worrying about the kids. I was worried that I wasn't worrying for a while. Really? I mean, it was so foreign to me not to worry. Deliverance did that. I didn't have to work to keep my deliverance. It's gone. It's over. And God moves on to the next thing. That's what He's going to do in each and every one of your lives. Just keep getting prayer. And if it doesn't go the first time, so what? We're tough. We'll go back again. We're not too proud. We'll ask for second helpings. Right? Right? And don't believe this horse pucky that you're delivered when you get saved. That is a lie straight from the pit. And Jesus did it all, yes, but we have to appropriate His deliverance, just like you have to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Yes, He died for the whole world. Well, hell, the whole world isn't saved, is it? Because we have to appropriate it. I get so sick and tired of that stuff. Because you know all it does? People don't think they need deliverance, and their life falls apart. They're not getting the richest blessings that God sent His Son for. What if you sent your only Son to die and be mutilated like Jesus Christ so that this group of people could have all the riches and glory. Your son, my son. And people go, huh, how do you think that would make you feel? My son died for you. He went through all of this so you could have everything. And you just snuff your nose at it. God feels the same way. He has emotions. God has emotions. I tell you, people, it is not our good works anymore. It is not the work of our hands or our minds. They're broken cisterns. And it's not the worldly fountains of living water where we've gone to get life and feel alive. Depression is at an all-time high in this country for women. Why? Because we're not doing what we were created to do. I went through such periods of depression and despair and overeating. I mean, I even told God, I said, God, if I can't use my gifts, and I knew my gifts and calling were important, I said, I want you to give them to my brother in Germany, because he's a man, to be used. Well, you can't transfer gifts. But I was willing to do that because I knew that what God had put in me was that important. What he has put in you is that important. You have been a very good audience, but this is so important. I cannot stress enough, and I know it's getting a little bit hot in here. It was just me and my two shirts. Okay. Turn around. I better not. I don't know what will come off if I take my shirt off. Monty wouldn't like that. He's sitting in the back. There will be tears in heaven, for God said he would wipe them all away. But let's not them be the tears of a misspent life. We've cried over so many things, ladies. We have the choice not to cry over a misspent life. I don't care if you're 99 years old, 100 years old. You start doing God's plan for your life now. It counts for all that time. And eternity, where there will be all of eternity to remind us of our misspent life and tremendous loss of reward. Well, okay, Sharon. Where do I start to unravel the devil's plan that I've been living? Come away, my beloved. Seek him. Ask him. Beg him. Be like those little chihuahua dogs. You know? Just sick him. Sick God. You know? He loves it. He wants that. Sit at his feet and listen to him. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Busyness never did impute the righteousness of God. God has promised that he would teach us and guide us in the way to go. And I will guide you with mine eye. But how can he guide us if we're not looking into it? God said that he watches over his word to perform it. And he will complete that which he started in you. These are promises, people. On the days that you feel like your life is never going to get together. For such a time as this, we were born. It is the most exciting time. It is the hardest time. I'm telling you, ladies, we will not draw back our sword from drawing blood. We will not be cursed because we drew back our sword from drawing blood. This group, you heard those warrior cries. When God and his spirit was here and that whooping and hollering, that was the army going, yes! Get deliverance. Seek knowledge from others who have gone before. Assume nothing. Be brave against the roaring lion. God is with us and for us, and he goes before us. Unite. We have to unite. First, in spirit, come to every conference you can. Get together in local groups as much as you can. The captain of the host is leading us into all truth. Never surrender and never give up. I'm going to haunt you. I will come to you in your dreams. No. That's how passionate I feel about wanting you to be all that God's created you to be. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the word for the day is arise. Arise and sing, you women of Zion, for the Lord will deliver thee. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him, for the Lord will deliver thee. And they all said, Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.